Hello, this is coming to you from Drake, Saskatchewan, North Star Mennonite Church. And it's our worship for August 30th, 2020. I hope you had a good week, a safe week, COVID-free, and otherwise, other things. And let's worship. Here is a call to worship. Give thanks to God and tell of God's gifts. We will sing praises for all that God has done. Let our hearts be joyful. We will seek God's presence continually. Call to mind God's wonderful works. We will always remember the blessings of God and glorify God forever. And then let's have a time of prayer, confession. Eternal and loving God, deep is our desire for what is true and enduring. Deep is our need to see clearly. Deep is our longing for you, O God. In you we live and move and have our being. You are the root of love, the fountain of knowledge, the source of wisdom, the path of right living. You are the beginning and end of all things. Our thoughts cannot comprehend your mystery, and so we worship you in humble praise. Holy God, ever three and ever one. Although you satisfy our deepest desires, O God, we confess together that we have all often turned away from you. We have sought meaning in shallow places. We have clung to old hurts and familiar habits. We have nursed anger and envy. We have been self-absorbed and lacked compassion. We have turned our backs on those in need. Forgive us what we have been, amend who we are, and guide us toward what we may become according to your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. But there is assurance of pardon. Friends of Christ, St. Paul declared that from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Thanks be to God that we can all make a new start through God's grace. God of wisdom, you teach us with your love. You touch us with your mercy, and you challenge us with your truth. Send us your Holy Spirit to help us understand the scriptures so that we may encounter you as we listen for your living word. Amen. Regarding announcements, I don't know of any, except we are going to try to start September 13. Deacons met this week, and we have a plan that will be shared in more detail. But that's what we're aiming for. And I probably will still give the sermons, not the whole worship, but the sermons, record them and put them on YouTube. So you can still get the recording. You can still get the sermon notes through our webpage, North Star Mennonite Church webpage. And some of you are on our email list. So you'll have three ways to get the sermon, and we won't record the service. We aren't set up for that. Other than that, I don't have any announcements that I know of at this time. Please hear the invitation for the offering. As Jesus' followers, we have the privilege of taking part in the redeeming work God has begun in the world. Today, we offer our gifts in anticipation that God will use them and us, that his work around the world will continue to take place. The offering will now be received to help the work of the church here and elsewhere. And here is a prayer. O God, we offer these gifts to you in hope and thanksgiving. Use them to transform the world you love with the good news we celebrate in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture is from 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through chapter 5, 11. And, usually those titles that we have in the Bible, which are not in the original text are very helpful, but sometimes we can't allow them to limit how we look at Scripture.
2 Corinthians 4:16 through 5:11. So, we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. If indeed, when we have taken it off, we will not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan under our burden, because we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So, we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in this body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your consciences. Amen.
Today is another sermon about grace, looking at another angle of it. I'll start with a personal story. I grew up in Taiwan as a son of missionary parents. From grade 7 right through high school, I attended a fall youth retreat, a spring youth retreat, and a summer camp for a week. They were highlights of the year because they were fun, and I could get away from my parents. I didn't look at them as times where I could be drawn closer to God. But as I reflect back on why I enjoyed those camps, many of my memories revolve around the commitments I made to Jesus Christ during those special days. And I just want to offer thanks to the originators of that camp and then all the people that helped make it possible all those years. I don't know if they still continue. A bonding took place with my friends at the camps, but a more important bonding took place. I bonded with Jesus. Those Triple C camps helped me and challenged me and led me to become a believer in Jesus Christ. The Triple C stands for Christ Can Conquer. The camps became a ritual for me and many of my friends. Looking back, I see those 6 years of summer camp, fall, and spring retreats as times of being on holy ground. And we were always in a different place. So that was also part of the adventure. Different parts of the island. They became a ritual for me, a holy ritual, as I always looked forward to the next one, and there was never a question of if I would go. I wanted to go. In my memories, I see sacred spaces, special people, and the loving touch of Jesus Christ. Those Triple C camps were a means of grace, a gift of grace to me as a young person. They were special times when God reached out to me. They were gifts from God. The means of grace, which is our focus today, or gifts of grace, are those human experiences that we participate in with liturgy and symbolic action. They are times that help us recognize God's continual participation in our lives to keep the relationship alive. The means of grace are those special events in the life of the church. where we are touched by God in special ways. Some of these events are one-time events like going to Promise Keepers, or they can be events like retreats, attending a Christian concert, or even regular Sunday worship, Bible study, and so on. A highlight for me for a number of years as a pastor was when I was doing intentional interim work, and we had a monthly meeting where we shared our situations. We learned from each other, we coached from each other, and we coached each other, and we prayed. These are times when God actively lives in our human experiences, so we can make covenants with his love and power, so we can grow in maturity and wisdom. These are sacramental, holy moments, are sacred times when God visits us in special ways to affirm the relationships we are attempting to live. There's no limit on the variety of ways God visits us, but the community of faith has accepted certain rites for corporate celebration and individual reflection. These sacred moments are times when we, through memory, have Christ represented to us and have another opportunity to rehearse our acceptance of Christ as our Lord and Savior. There are times when we reach out to God and when the Holy Spirit reaches out to us. There are times when God reveals himself again. They are gifts that are better than Christmas presents. The Church of Jesus' time had two basic rituals or sacraments, baptism and communion. These are still the two basic rites that most believers in Jesus Christ partake in. These two sacraments were recognized up to around 1341 at the Council of Trent. Then five more sacraments were recognized to help people through difficult, important passages of their lives. If you were raised in the Roman Catholic Church, you have probably heard of them and participated in them. They are penance, holy orders, matrimony, confirmation, and extreme unction. They were attempts to recognize and respond to those times in people's lives where something new was taking place. Today, the Roman Catholic Church still recognizes those seven sacraments, as does the Episcopal Church. Most of the Protestant churches since the Protestant Reformation have returned to the original two, baptism and communion as the main sacraments. Some of us call them ordinances. Many of them do recognize the special ceremonies of marriage, confirmation, and ordination, but not necessarily to the same degree as baptism and communion. Many Protestants have recognized foot washing as a sacred symbolic act of the servanthood Jesus teaches. Also today, many churches, including the Catholic Church, teach that healing by anointing with oil is scriptural and a special means of grace. These are the official sacraments that the church today practices. Many of you have probably participated in some of these in some ways, and maybe even in some others, in whatever tradition you have been in. The intent of these sacred holy moments is to make the presence of God more real than in our everyday life. They are special ritualistic times in the life of the church and in our lives. They are gifts from God to help us celebrate and to help us mature. As we go through life, they are regular reminders of God's love, of God's mercy, of God's involvement with us. These sacred times are often viewed as times of celebration of God's grace, of recommitment by God's people, and of declaring to all that we recognize and follow the Almighty God. They remind us who we are and who God is. The church represents Christ in the world in its general ministry of reconciliation between God and humans. These holy moments help make Jesus present to the world at important times in our lives, like marriage and confirmation and even funerals. The purpose of the church is founded upon the divine action of God in the church. These rituals are times when the Holy Spirit reveals himself. They are visible signs of God's love to us. So the church has, over time, chosen certain rituals as special times. And each denomination and each individual church has their own special rituals. Like many churches in North America celebrate Thanksgiving. Others celebrate, use Mother's Day, a secular day, and Father's Day, a secular day, but also, you know, recognize them as special religious days too. And then there are other things. Sometimes we have International Witness Sunday, or, you know, well, you name it, Creation Care Sunday, Earth Day, or whatever. These are events where we recognize a certain aspect of how God's grace touches us. Just as the Israelites had many special days, we have developed some special days in our church calendar to remember, celebrate, remind us, and recommit. These rituals can be formal, as we have been talking about, or they can be informal. They can be very personal, as on an anniversary of someone's death or a particular other anniversary, maybe of when we committed our life to Christ, we go off for a one-day retreat. The variety is infinite, depending on what we are remembering and what we are celebrating and how we are wanting God to touch us. They are times we have chosen to call sacred, where through sight, sound, smell, emotion, feeling, insight, tradition, intelligence, and action, we recognize and receive God's grace. They help us get in touch with God, with the vertical, so we can live on the horizontal with others. They help lift us up to God and bring God to us. Just a couple other examples, the season of Advent and the season of Lent are not just one-day things, they are multi-week times where we find special ways to celebrate that those seasons of the church year. Baptism is the first specific means to give grace that we will look at. God touches us through the rite of baptism and or confirmation. Baptism is the entry point for Christians. It is the invitation. It is the initiation rite. It is a public declaration that I am a follower of Jesus. When someone is baptized, they are accepted into the community of faith. And that acceptance also reminds everyone participating that they too are part of the community and have responsibilities and obligations. The parents and the community promise to surround and nurture and protect and teach that person about the love of Jesus Christ, as well as be good examples. The importance of baptism is that it is a means of grace that God has given us. It is a recognition of our human need for divine love. It is a recognition that we often feel unwanted, unloved, and uncared for, but God wants us, God loves us, God cares for us. Baptism is a public declaration to the whole world that the individual and the community have declared their faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is a sacred moment of invitation, acceptance, and declaration that Jesus is my Lord and he is the Lord of a particular body of believers. He is the Lord of all who believe in him as Savior and follow the Holy Creator. Baptism does not make one a Christian. It's simply that public time of commitment. Baptism without Jesus is just getting wet. The act itself does not convey salvation. It is just the beginning, or symbolic of a beginning, or a new stage on one person's spiritual journey. This is why churches have confirmation classes, those that have that system. This is why all believers are urged to study and grow in the faith. This is why we encourage parents to teach and train their children. This is why we have Sunday school and Bible studies, and many denominations have their own church schools. Baptism is the act where God recognizes our repentance, our choosing to walk in his way. It's when we publicly say, I am not worthy and need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's that public declaration where I recognize what God did for me on the cross and the empty tomb. I know myself as a sinner and I repent. I choose to turn my life over to Jesus through a change of heart and attitude and actions, and then I will now act on my commitment to Jesus Christ. Another means of grace, another gift that God has given us, which is both formal and informal, is prayer. Prayer is a spiritual dialogue between our souls and God. Prayer is generally not asking God to do things for us, but it is a communication of a relationship. It is talking and listening to God. Most of us, I suspect, do too much talking. I think we need to slow down our brainwaves down every once in a while, clear our minds out, and just listen. Prayer is an opportunity to practice the presence of God in our lives, to slow down and listen. Hopefully, we've had lots of opportunities over the last few months, haven't we? Or have we just filled it with lots of other stuff that may or may not be meaningful in the years to come? Who knows? One of my favorite ways of praying is going into the church during the week and spending some quiet time. I pray for people, myself, the church, my family, and sing. I sometimes sit trying to let God speak to me or answer some questions. Listening to God to speak through our mind, emotion, memory, imagination, and dreams is an important part of prayer. Today, I tend to walk through the church, partly to keep myself awake, but also to stretch my muscles as I pray. But also, I know where people tend to sit. And as I go by those pews, I pray for those people, as well as the world and family and other concerns that come to my mind. Another means of grace God extends to us is ordination and commissioning. All Christians are called to minister with whatever gifts they have in the name of Jesus Christ. Some are ordained to the task of caring for souls and for administering the sacraments. Others are ordained for the task of evangelism, defending and sharing the faith to those outside the church. The task of ministry not only implies the teaching of the community of faith, but also the speaking of prophetic judgment in the church and society. In the community of faith, all are called to minister. We have teachers, prayer warriors, deacons, counselors, Bible scholars, cooks, maintaining the facilities, leaders, and people equipped with other tasks like teaching. I think it would be great if every church each year commissioned each church member for the task they are best equipped for. This would emphasize the means of grace that God gives us when He chooses us by ordination or commissioning. It also valuing people's contributions, and sometimes we just need to step up to the plate, even if we're not comfortable, and because the church needs a particular skill or focus that someone within the church can contribute. Marriage is another means of grace. The New Testament draws several parallels between the marriage bond and the relationship which exists between Christ and the church. Just as the relationship between Christ and the church is full of grace, so too do marriages need grace. And Jesus Christ helps provide God's grace between two individuals as well as within families. Healing is another important means of grace in the history of the church. It was central to the ministry of Jesus. It was central to the mission of the 12 disciples. Often today, healing is used to help people understand the power and love of God in a personal way so that they commit themselves to following Jesus. I think in many places, we undervalue praying for people, laying on of hands, healing. It's not an accident that despite the criticisms of colonialism, who was it that built hospitals and clinics all over the world, many of whom are functioning today, maybe as secular institutions, but they got their impetus and are still staffed by many Christians and many Christian organizations. And the healing often wasn't just for the body, but often for the soul, and especially after World War II, we got into psychiatry, at least Mennonites did. And this is an important part of history. I think we often pass over that it's not just prayer, it's also medical and psychiatry help. In John 13, we find another means of grace. It is a grace of foot washing. It's fallen out of favor for a whole variety of reasons, some good, some bad. But Jesus taught that if we as disciples want to be great in the kingdom of God, we need to become servants. This is hard for us. We all want to be number one. We all want to have the most attention, to be the top dog, to be on the top of the ladder. We all want to serve in the way we want to serve. Maybe we need to serve in the way that's needed to serve. But Jesus tells us, so if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. I think the ritual of doing foot washing is an important one. It is a gift to us to remind us. It reminds us that we are to be followers of Jesus Christ. It reminds us that our attitude is to be that of a servant. It reminds us that we are to be helpful. We so often need this reminder because we like things our way. And yet, we need this means of grace. Jesus shared Holy Communion with his disciples. This is another gift of grace from God. Some denominations do it every week. Some do it just twice a year. Some do it somewhere in between. The risen Christ celebrated communion with the two at Emmaus. And that's a big part of when all of a sudden their eyes were opened at the end of that time. Communion was a practice of the early church. In communion, there are the outward and visible signs, the bread and the wine, of an inward and spiritual grace. God's love as grace is offered to us in communion. There is a recognition of the relationship between God and humanity. The presence of Jesus Christ is in Holy Communion. Communion was given to us to remember Jesus and to draw us into unity, not uniformity. When we proclaim the death of Jesus Christ through communion, as Apostle Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 11, we are saying to the world that we are disciples. We are followers of Jesus. We are saying that Jesus has my ultimate allegiance before anything else. It is a means of grace so sacred, so special, that we are warned to not take it unworthily. It is given to us to celebrate our new life in Christ. It is a time for reflection and self-examination. And I think often sometimes communion should just be a sign, just be a time of celebration. So I think the seriousness of it is there, and we need to take it serious. But I think sometimes, you know, let's just be joyful. It is a time to audit how healthy is my relationship with God and the people around me. We don't know all that happens in the act of communion. Lots of people have written lots of books, and there's just lots and lots and lots of words, probably too many, partly because we don't fully understand. There is mystery. But we do know somehow the risen Christ, ruler of the earth, is present with us in that act. We do know that the Son of Almighty God reminds us that his death was a death to self on our behalf. Communion is us saying, the participants saying, I recognize what Jesus has done for me, and I choose to die to myself as a disciple like Christ did. At the Last Supper, Jesus chose to share this means of grace with his friends. He chose to share it with a community of believers. We too, as we partake, are sharing Holy Communion with friends in Jesus Christ. God called a group together to follow him, to deny themselves and take up their crosses, to lose their lives for Jesus' sake and for the sake of the gospel, to be servants. We have the same call today. I share with you some of the basic formal gifts God gives us to help us throughout each year of our lives. There are others that are not so formal, but maybe even more important to each of us. We are given the gift of confession. That's undervalued, I think, more and more today. We are given the gift of forgiveness. We are given the gift of love. All of these gifts and many others are means of grace to us. They are events and actions God has provided to help us, nurture us, grow us, strengthen us, mature us, and protect us, and nudge us back on to God's railroad tracks. Even congregational surveys and meetings and visioning are an act of grace to help us reflect, process, and plan instead of always be in a reactive mode. An example of a gift of grace from God for me is when we were in Brazil, we had all-night vigils. Now, this is not something I naturally got excited about. I like my sleep. I need my sleep. After one of those, it took me 3 days to really feel I was mentally and physically on track again. But this was or is a cultural thing, and after several of these vigils, I began to look forward to them. I actually miss having an all-night time of fellowship, prayer, fun, Bible study, and games from time to time. I discovered that when I stopped, slowed down, had some time with God's people, had some time for myself during those vigils, it was a good spiritual boost. My spiritual life got strengthened. Sometimes healing of emotional hurts took place. And then because we were on the coast, sunrise on the beach with other believers, after a night of praise, study, worship, and fellowship is something I miss. But I suspect because of my age, it would be difficult to do now. It would take days to recover. I'd have to have, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours of sleep at least. Anyway, this is just an example of a gift of grace that develops us, heals us, and steadies us. And sometimes those gifts, you know, are for a period of time. And then, you know, we move on to others and we have other opportunities. A means of grace can also be any principle or command of scripture that connects God to people and people to God in God's presence. For example, the gift of hospitality is a means of grace where we extend God's love through ourselves to others, and we benefit in many ways. Fasting is a gift where God's grace can touch us. I know a number of people who fast regularly. He doesn't let anything. I mean, I know one guy who nothing on his schedule on Fridays gets changed. He's fasting, period. And he doesn't let anybody or anything change that. And that has benefited him enormously. God touches us through formal events, and he also touches us through informal events. And who can talk about means of grace or thing gifts from God without just mentioning music, as well as Bible reading and devotional and inspiring books? God has gifted us with so many ways to build us up that we have no means for not being saints of Jesus Christ. No excuses for not being saints of Jesus Christ. Often I think I have been touched in ways I don't even know about until I look back. You probably can think of times and events and places where God, through people or his creation or an event, touched you in a special way that gave you what you needed at that time. There are many means of grace. They are from God. They are free gifts. That's how much God loves us. I hope today you have realized again, as you reflect on your own life and how God has touched you, how loving and gracious our Creator is. The Almighty doesn't just provide salvation and leave us on our own. The Almighty reaches out to us in many ways. He gives gifts of grace to us. God really loves us, doesn't he? As we enter our prayer time, I'll give you an opportunity to pray on your own, and you can just stop the recording and do so, and let's do that now. Oh, Jesus, as many schools have started around the world, and our own school here in Drake is starting in a couple weeks, we ask wisdom for the teachers, administration, and the provincial officials around education on what to do. And we pray that there can be some flexibility with each school, because each school has a different architecture and possibilities. So we just ask the protection for the students and teachers, and then of course when they go home, their families, we pray that there'll be wisdom and cooperation by everyone. We also thank you that the combine fire, that happened here in this community, that even though the combine is trashed, most of the field is still there and no one got hurt. And we do thank you for that. And thank you for the fire crew, the Drake fire crew, and all the other neighbors who were there to help. O God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we come to you in prayer as the summer season draws near to its close, and we prepare for an autumn filled with many changes. We give you thanks for the occasions we have enjoyed this summer, savoring the beauty of your creation right outside our doors. Thank you for the chances we had to catch up with family and friends, and whatever opportunities for travel, recreation, and restoration have been possible. We thank you that many of us have been able to get out and about at least a little bit, unlike previous summers, but still, we've been out. We recognize how blessed we are to live in Canada, and we are so grateful for each moment in which we found rest and relaxation in this summer season. Today, remember those for whom this summer has been difficult, those still isolated by the restrictions because of COVID-19, those who go hungry or face violence in forgotten corners of our own community and around the world, those whose businesses are struggling, who have to figure out how to be inviting and safe at the same time, those who are uncertain how to engage with friends and neighbors and still be safe, wise, careful in this strange time of pandemic. And we remember the quite a few countries like Belarus, Lebanon, Mali, and a whole host of others that are going through changes, like changes in leadership in Japan, and other concerns, politics and violence and bad government. We pray for them. May each one find courage and to face tomorrow in your company. O God, walk the road of suffering with so many in pain and grief, especially as there are new pockets and new increased COVID in various parts of the world, as well as all the political and violent tragedies. We remember Black Lives Matter and the murder of a black guy with 7 bullets in the back. Lazy policing. We remember those whose lives have faced crises this summer through tragic death and unexpected loss, through critical illness or injury, through pain or problems that seem to have no end. We could each name some people we know. Surround them with your comfort and compassion. O Jesus, often faced with many demands and the pressures from his critics, so we pray for all those who have not found rest this summer, for leaders trying to figure out ways forward to care for their communities when there are no examples to follow. Everybody is having a huge learning curve. For those whose jobs and responsibilities have changed, and every day presents a new challenge, whether it's to find housing, find employment, move, how to care for kids, do we send our children to school, and so on. We also remember all those who seek work in this uncertain economic times. May they know your strength and assurance day by day. Jesus, thank you for the many ways you extend your grace to us. Whether it be the kind word of a neighbor or the help of a stranger or the wisdom of a relative or some ritual or special miracle of creation, like a simple hummingbird flying just a few feet from us as they enjoy the nectar of a flower. May we sense that it comes from you. Help more people around the world receive and recognize your many graces of help, love, and protection, as well as your rules, your guidelines on how to live together. Oh God, we need the embrace of your presence, each in our own way. Bring healing and peace to our lives and to this world you love. Open our eyes and our hearts so that we may offer healing and peace to those we encounter. In Jesus' name, amen. Want to offer some closing words, just repeating a little bit of our 2 Corinthians 4 text, and then a benediction. So do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. That's where God's grace is most alive and at work. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Keep giving us vision, healing, hope, and joy. Grace is on our lips and in our hearts this morning, Lord Jesus. Your grace is in our hands. We take it with us, spreading thankfulness wherever we go. Know that we never walk alone. Know the comfort of Christ walking beside us. Feel our Creator's presence each moment of each day. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, as well as the communion of the saints. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and have a good week and enjoy the cooler weather. God bless.